Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
I want to start today a very short two-part sermon series by asking the same question as a very popular television commercial sponsored by Capital One, a major credit card company. You've probably heard this before. What's in your wallet? But it's really a good question to ask because you can tell a lot about a person's priorities, lifestyle, values by what's in his or her wallet or billfold or purse, and maybe wasn't what isn't in there. So what is in your wallet, your billfold, your purse? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to take them out right now, okay? If you got a billfold, if you got a purse on you or a wallet of some kind, I want you to take it out, and I want you to open it up, and I want you to look for any form of identification in your wallet. I want you to tell me in a moment how many. Well, I'm just going to give numbers here. But I've already done mine, and I was shocked at how many types of information I have in my wallet that gives some kind of identification, has my name on it. So as you're looking, you're going to be looking for things like this. You're going to be looking for a driver's license, maybe a credit card or two, or a debit card, maybe even have your name on a picture somewhere, insurance cards, membership cards, Social Security card, all kinds of stuff. Have you looked? How many things do you have in your wallet, billfold, purse, that identifies you in some way? How many? How many have one? How many have two? More than three. Yeah. You know how many I have in my wallet? Eight. I've got eight things in there that has my name on for some reason. Insurance cards, you know, driver's license. But there's other things in your wallet too. Maybe you have a backup key for emergencies. And I can't forget money. However, I don't think people carry as much cash anymore in their wallet because they have other means of paying for things, like a credit card. But most people, here's the point, they carry some kind of ID in their wallet, their billfold, their purse, and it's usually multiple forms of ID. I mean, imagine how paralyzed we would be in our world today if we didn't have an ID. Identity is important. It gives you things like access and validation, belonging and privilege. And I believe identification is an important concept in the Bible. So in this first message from this two-part series, we're going to focus in on the importance of identification. The main text will be Colossians chapter 3. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, I'm going to start by reading the first three verses, and then we're going to get into the Bible concept of identification. Here's what Paul writes, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. He said, "Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." We're going to talk about that and some other things right after we ask God for his wisdom, his understanding, and his blessing as we open his word. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you so much that you have identified us as your creation, as people who are worthy to be loved, as people who are worthy to send your son to die for. Oh Lord, help us to appreciate that today. And then help us to be able to understand the advantages of being a Christian, the benefits of being a part of your family, of being saved. And we thank you so much for all that you do for us. So Lord, I want everyone to leave here today just being encouraged and being blessed because they know that they're part of your family. And if there's anyone here that's not made the choice yet to become a part of your family, touch their hearts even now to prepare them for the salvation that you have given to us all. We love you and thank you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, most of us spend a good portion of our lives trying to discover and establishing our identity. Now, we hear people say things, and maybe you said this before, something like this: I just need time to find myself. I need time to know who I really am. Jennifer Wilbanks became famous way back in 2005 when she disappeared the week before her wedding. And many people watched with concern on television and news programs as law enforcement officials tried to find her, but the situation turned out to be a hoax. The bride-to-be had hopped on a Greyhound bus and then made up a story about being abducted. She later was dubbed, and I'm sure you've heard this, the runaway bride. Katie Couric interviewed Jennifer on NBC News and asked her this question: what do you hope people take away from this interview? Here was her reply: I hope that people will allow me to learn who I truly am. So I hope that as I go through this healing process and start to learn more about myself, accept myself, love myself for who I am, then everybody else will too, that I will no longer be the runaway bride. She was trying to find who she was. In the movie The Bourne Identity, Matt Damon plays Jason Bourne, a CIA agent who has suffered amnesia and is trying to figure out just exactly who he is. At one point in the movie, he's hitched a ride with a young woman named Marie, and he tried to keep quiet about his situation, but the frustration began to overwhelm him. And finally, in response to her asking a simple question, he turns to her and he says desperately, I don't know who I am, and I don't know where I'm going. I wonder how many people are like that today. I'm guessing there's people, and maybe even some people in here, who are thinking, no, I don't know who I really am. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. The question is, who are you as far as my relationship with Jesus is concerned? That's the question that I want each of us to look in the mirror and honestly ask today. Am I Don and Marjorie Dunn's son? Am I Debbie's husband? Am I Cassie's dad? Am I the preacher at Meadowview? Am I a homeowner, a neighbor, the driver of a Nissan, a Buckeyes fan? Am I a friend? Am I a teacher? Am I a leader? Now, all these things may describe in some way who I am, but is that who I really am? I came across this definition of a preacher that I liked. I like this. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about the somebody who can save anybody. That's good, isn't it? I like that about a preacher. Who am I is such an important question to answer. Personally, I take great comfort in Psalm 139, verse 1. David said, Lord, you have searched me and known me. Can I remind you what you should already know? God knows exactly who you are because he created you. And he knows everything about you. There's nothing that's been concealed. You don't have to try to impress God because you can't. He knows you and he loves you just as you are, and that's why he sent Jesus. And he has a plan for you. And whether you want to admit it or not, your identity, your value, the meaning of life for you and for me is wrapped up in our relationship with him. So if you want some clarity of identity, he is the place to start. 2 Corinthians gives us a good verse to start as knowing who we are, at least those of us who are Christians. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means if you're a Christian, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And so the question we need to ask and answer is this: who am I as far as my relationship with Jesus is concerned? Because there's nothing more important in understanding who you are than that. In Jesus Christ, we not only have clarity of who we are, but I want to talk about three substantial benefits of being a Christian. Okay, number one, being a Christian brings us significance and value. Some people believe there's great value in a name. I read a story several years ago, it was in the Chicago Tribune, about a man by the name of Dalton Conley, who was a sociologist at New York University, and his wife, whose name is Natalie Jeremijenko. Now, they have two children, and a few years ago, they sought permission from the city of New York to change the name of their then 4-year-old son. Here's what they wanted to change his name to. Yo, Zing, Hano, Augustus, Eisner, Alexander, Wisner, Knuckles, Jeremy, Jinko, Conley. That's right. You see, there were specific reasons, they claimed, for all those names, from honoring ancestors to establishing expectations. Now, an official for the civil court clerk's office in New York said, this, they said, was the longest name in their records. Now, I share all that to say this: in the Bible, there is often significance and value in a name. I mean, it's almost humorous sometimes in Scripture the way God addresses his people, especially those that he wants to do his work. For example, there's this guy you may have heard of. His name was Gideon. Story of Gideon, the book of Judges. Gideon, the Bible says, was hiding on the threshing floor because he was scared of the invading Midianites. And yet we read this in Judges 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said to him, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Valiant warrior? This is a wimp who's in hiding. And an angel of God is calling him a valiant warrior. He wasn't standing up for anyone or anything. He had no confidence. He was totally intimidated. What's this valiant warrior stuff? Well, here's the point. God could see what Gideon could be if he allowed God to use him. And if you go through the rest of the story, we learn that indeed, with God's help and with God's strength, Gideon defeated the Midianite army of about 135,000 with 300 men. When you are identified with Jesus Christ, you are a Christian, you wear his name, your value is not based on your accomplishments or lack thereof, it's not based on your ethnic descent, it's not based on your position in life or how much money you have in the bank. It is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that gives you meaning. What I want you to remember today, one of the, I think, really good boxing movies I've watched, this is second probably only to Rocky. Several years ago, there's a movie came out called Cinderella Man. And it told the story of a true boxing legend by the name of James J. Braddock, who in the movie was played by Russell Crowe. And he had hurt his wrist and he was down in the dumps during the Great Depression, had no money, was trying to support his family. And he began to box again. And he made his way up to a showdown with the world heavyweight champion, Max Baer. Now, Baer was a vicious fighter and he was notorious for the fact that he had killed two people in the ring while boxing. So people were concerned about Braddock's life as he was now going to face Max Baer. So when the big day arrives, Braddock's wife sneaks into the locker room to find her husband just moments before the fight. And with a tender fierceness that can only come from a loyal wife, she locks her husband in her stare for the final words he's going to hear before leaving the locker room. She said, "James J. Braddock, you just remember who you are. You're the bulldog of Bergen. You're the pride of New Jersey. You're everybody's hope. You're our children's hero. And you are the champion of my heart, James J. Braddock." Of course, that motivated him to go out and he won the championship. My fellow Christians, have you ever thought about the names by which you are identified in the Bible? You ever thought about that? Let me share with you some. If you are a Christian, and that's one name that you're identified with, then you are a believer. You are a saint. That's not a category of super Christians or an angel. That's all Christians are saints. You are children of God. You are more than conquerors. You are victorious. You are the bride of Christ. You are chosen priest. You are living stones. You are the temple of God. You're the light of the world, the church, the way, God's elect, the body of Christ, disciples, those sanctified or set apart as holy, partners in the gospel, friends of Jesus, and that's just the beginning of the list. That's who you are. That's how the Bible identifies us in all those different ways. Sometime back, the Cincinnati Inquirer had an article about a man by the name of Scott Weiss who lived in Decatur, Illinois. Now, Scott was a great big Chicago Bears football fan. And so he had made a bet and signed a pledge in a bar somewhere that if the Bears lost the Super Bowl to the Colts, that he would change his name to Peyton Manning, the quarterback of the Colts. Imagine changing your name for the sake of a football game. But I wonder today, are you willing to wear the name of Christ? Do you wear the name of Christian honorably? In our text from Colossians 3, I want to start in verse 2 and read through verse 4. Paul said, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, remember that, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Our identity is found in the name of Jesus, and that gives us significance and value. Second benefit from our identity is being a Christian brings privileges and access. Now, you've probably heard this before. I've read this fairly recently. Identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes in America. Approximately 10 million victims are reported each year, according to a Federal Trade Commission survey. Now, why is that? Well, obviously, it's because of the benefits of identification. I mean, today, when you travel abroad, you need a passport, maybe a visa, a photo ID, maybe a birth certificate, or you don't get into another country. The whole idea of that humorous What's in Your Wallet commercial by Capital One, they're trying to make us feel bad if we don't have the power and the pleasure and the prestige and the position and the possibilities that their credit card provides. Well, we still know today that with membership comes privileges. With identity, you have access. So I want to remind you of some of the amazing privileges and access we have because of our identity in Jesus Christ. So let me cite just a few. Number one, we are a part of the family of God. Galatians 3, beginning verse 26, Paul said, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You talk about a privilege? We are part of God's family. John 1, beginning verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Romans 8, 17 says, and if children, meaning we are children of God, then we are heirs also and fellow heirs with Christ. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. All of heaven belongs to us. And we're going to get there someday. And secondly, we're forgiven. Romans 8, 1 assures us, therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are Christians. Why? Because we've been forgiven. Third, we have access to God 24/7. Ephesians 2, 18 and 19, Paul says, for through him, through Jesus, we both, meaning Jew and Gentile alike, if you're a Christian, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Ephesians 3, 12 reminds us, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. And don't forget 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's a privilege to have that kind of access to our Father. And then finally, we have citizenship in heaven. Paul said in Philippians 3, 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is coming back someday. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You have an inheritance. It has nothing to do with this earth, but you're going to receive it when you get to heaven. You talk today about a birth certificate and a passport. Most people do not have the proper identification to get into other countries. But because you have clothed yourself with Christ, that is the only ID necessary for you to get into heaven. That's it. You can throw all your credit cards away. You can throw everything away you've got in your wallet. Because if you're a Christian and Jesus lives with you, you're going to heaven. Praise God for that. Third benefit of our identity in Christ is that being a Christian brings purpose and responsibility. Now, we know that a driver's license is often used as an ID today, but you know another name for it, right? An operator's license. That ID allows you to drive or operate a vehicle. My good friend Dan Lang tells about the day he got his driver's license, 16 years old. First thing he did was ask for permission to borrow the car. Now, it wasn't the good family car. It was the old car, the second car, the one his older brother often drove, a 1962 Oldsmobile that his grandmother used to drive. And he wanted to take his girlfriend for a spin. So his dad handed him the keys. He said, "Be careful." Dan was out the door, picked his girlfriend up, and he drove to the park as proud as a peacock. And then he got her safely home. And as he was pulling out of the driveway, all of a sudden he tells this story. He said, "All of a sudden I realized something. What were her parents thinking? They let her go with me on my first solo drive." Now what he was recognizing is, now that he had this driver's license, there was responsibility that accompanied that. He had some responsibility. With identity comes responsibility. Now let me show you what I mean by using God's word. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, is one of the great identity passages in the Bible where Peter also explains our purpose. Okay? Here's what it says. "But you are," now listen to these terms describing you and me, "but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Now here comes the purpose of our identity. "So that you may proclaim the excellencies," some translations say, "declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I love that. It can be summarized in this way. Our purpose: proclaim to others what Jesus has done for you. That's it. That's our purpose. Not only do we know our privileged identity in Christ, we know the purpose for our lives, and that's significant because it has eternal ramifications, not only for us, but for the people that we share with. We're not just random folks. We're not just wandering aimlessly in this world. We can get up every morning with clarity about who we are and why we're here because God gives that to us. You know, today when people engage in shameful or illegal behavior, they try to remain anonymous. Maybe they'll try to shield their face from a camera, give an alias name, create a false ID. Because with ID, with identity, there is accountability and responsibility. So my point for all of us, if we're going to wear the name of Christ, then we have a responsibility to live up to that name. Now, Jesus will help us, no question. But we need to live in a worthy manner. Now I want to get back to our text in Colossians 3, a passage that teaches us the fact that responsibility comes with identity. So in verses 5 through 9, I'm just going to summarize it. Paul reminds us that we are to get rid of our old sinful ways. Things like impurity, evil desires, greed, anger, slander, obscene speech, lying. And then in verse 10, he says that we have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. Now here's what Paul is teaching here. This new self, this new creation that we are given when we are saved, the Holy Spirit coming to live with us, helps us to become more and more like Jesus. So then in verse 12, Paul encourages us as to how we become more like our master. He says this: "Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another." Yeah, we got to put up with each other. That's what that means. "Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you must do also. In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts and be thankful. Now, Paul here gives several character qualities that every Christian can have because of the work of God he is doing in us through the Holy Spirit. One of the football coaches that I really like, I've read two of his books, is Tony Dungy, a very committed Christian man. And remember I was talking about that guy in Illinois wanted to change his name to Peyton Manning? Well, that was in 2007. And that is when Tony Dungy and his Indianapolis Colts defeated the Chicago Bears for the Super Bowl title. Well, I think it was especially interesting after the game when the interviewers were repeatedly referring to Tony's accomplishments as the first African-American head coach to win the Super Bowl. Here's what he said. I'll tell you what, I'm proud to be representing African-American coaches, to be the first African-American to win this. It means an awful lot to me and I believe to our country. But again, let me reiterate, more than anything, I've said this before. Lovie Smith, now he was the coach of the Bears, also an African-American coach. He said, Lovie Smith and I, not only are the first two African-Americans coaching against each other in the Super Bowl, but we are Christian coaches showing that you can win doing things God's way. That's what he said in the interview. And we're more proud of that than anything else. I love that. Tony Dungy was saying, yes, my skin color is part of my identity. Yes, coach is a part of my identity. Being an Indianapolis Colt is a part of my identity, but Christian. That word of identity is far more important than any other word you might use to identify who I am. That's what he was saying. I believe Paul said it best. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So let me ask that question I asked in the beginning. What's in your wallet? Spiritually speaking, I hope and pray that your spiritual ID card says that you are a Christian, which means you have significance and value. You have privileges and access. You have purpose and responsibility. You have all those things as a Christian, as a child of God.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.